Let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and then find the Deep Dive into Scripture link at the top of the page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on that page. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Welcome back, everybody, to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm here with Father John Wargle. What's going on today, Father John?
Hey, Danny, I am so excited about this podcast.
I can tell you've been jumping around over there.
We're going to be talking about days 1 and 4, which is verses 3 and 5 in chapter 1, paralleling chapters 14 through 19. We're doing this. If you remember.
And this is in Genesis.
This is in Genesis. Okay, and to understand what we're doing here, days 1 and 3 are parallel to days 4, 5, and 6.
Right. So things happen, the creation happens, and then things about the creation, like an extension of that, happens on days 4, 5, and 6, right?
Exactly. See, you could, the easy way of, is tohu vavohu. Remember that from
time? Yes.
Tohu vavohu. The formlessness of that God is separating light from darkness, the waters from dry land, that sort of thing going on in days 1, 2, and 3. That's the tohu, the formlessness, and he fills the void. You mentioned extension, but that's a way of looking at it.
Okay, good. Fills the void. Got it.
And so we're going to be looking at days 1 and 4 because they're parallel. They have to do with darkness and light. Okay, so here we go. Day 1, Yehi Or in the Hebrew, let there be light. Now, what this light looked like, we have the foggiest idea, Danny. No one can tell us.
Right, because we don't know what that kind of light looked like.
That's right.
We've got our own light. We know what that looks like.
Yeah, which was created on days 4, right?
Right.
So the Hebrews weren't bothered by this whole thing, again, because what they want to get across, what God wants to get across to us is how he's doing this so that we can understand the temple that he's creating.
Ah, right.
Okay. And the temple needs light. And not only is light created, and of course, they would have thought of light in different ways. There's celestial light, the created light of angels and celestial beings. I haven't seen that. Have you, Dan?
No, not yet. Maybe someday.
Hopefully. People see this type of thing, and I'm glad for them, right? But that's not uncreated light, okay? Uncreated light is something we can't stand because it's so intense. It's God. God is that light, right? And there's all kinds of different kinds of life. And, it's, you know, I heard that, you know, some of these critters in the sea, they have light on the, they scuttling across the floors of silent seas, so to speak, you know, and they got these little lights.
And something about their body generates
this
light.
And there's no heat.
Right. Yeah.
Same thing with fireflies. So there's, you know, when you think about it, there's all sorts of light. We tend to think about it just from sun or electric lights and so on. Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyways, we have light. And what is really created not only is light, it's separated from the darkness, which really has no function. It's a chaotic thing. It's scary.
Causes problems.
We can't live.
I trip in the dark.
But this time, at this point in creation, there's no moral significance attached to it at all.
Okay.
Okay. And it's only after the fall that these chaotic elements, which are in and of themselves impossible for us to live with, in and of themselves scary, but they're left in creation. And even though God calls it good, it's good for his purposes.
Oh, I see.
And you have to have this for a functioning will of human beings to be able to choose one thing for the other. Okay. So what's really being created here is a light space as opposed to a dark
separation,
space.
A separation of the two.
Right. Creating what's called day. Again, what a day looked like in the first day without the sun, moon, stars, we don't know.
Sure.
But one thing that it is created here, and along with light, and they're both essentially connected, is time.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Right. It's time because there's day and there's night, and they go, you know, they pass from day to night, day and night.
Well, they move through time.
They move
to get
through
from
time.
One to the
and
other.
What is time, Danny?
No idea.
Well, someone told me that time was
I'm
that
not
which
guessing
kept
anything.
Everything from going happening at the same time.
Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now that's a good thing to think about. What is time? It's created. Time is created. And of course, we all know it's relative. You probably know that from science, right?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
If you get out of
that's
the...
That's back to that E equals MC squared thing.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, you get out of the solar system, which is kind of like the clock. How do you tell time? And, you know, what is it? We don't know.
Sure, they have talked about stuff like that when they're talking about when NASA talks about taking long trips to Mars and things like that, that people would lose all sense of... time.
Right, yes. Right. So again, it's all spoken in terms of how we experience it here on Earth.
Sure.
Okay.
Sun, moon.
Yeah, but time's a very important thing. And what we see emerging here are the building blocks of cosmology. And here I want to talk about the cosmic triangle.
Oh man! Has anybody heard of this?
No,
the
no,
cosmic triangle.
I haven't heard it, but this is what I've come up with. Okay. Now think about this. In verse 1, we see that God is transcendent, above and beyond creation. He speaks everything into being. Right.
So,
that's
right. There was no light and dark before God.
Right.
Right.
Right. There's just God. Okay. Now God is transcendent. Utterly transcendent, and yet he, in his creation, is making a material time and space place.
Okay.
So at the bottom of the, maybe the right side of the triangle, if you can mention it, is space and matter.
Okay.
And you have to have space, you know, so matter doesn't, you know, you have to have space in between material objects, right? So
sure,
space
yep.
and matter is over here.
Okay.
And then you have time. So the top of the triangle is transcendent.
Okay, that's God.
That's God. And then you got matter and space over here. And then you have time. Danny, the cool thing about this is this. Any kind of philosophy, any kind of religion, any kind of cosmology, because we all work, you know what a cosmology is? Maybe we should talk a little
probably
bit about
it. Probably not. That's a good idea. Let's define
yeah, yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It has nothing to do with cosmetics, okay?
No, right. I figured that.
Right. The cosmology.
For some reason, what comes to mind when you say cosmology, it's horoscopes and things like that. I don't know why. It's not true. I know, but like cosmic. So I don't know. Okay, so cosmology.
Cosmology is simply how we view our surroundings and our world and how it works.
Okay.
And everybody has some sense of cosmology. Even if you live in the middle of the city and you never see the night sky because of light pollution, okay, you have no sense of transcendence. You're operating with a cosmology, which is basically, well, it might be just what your life is like between your front door and going to work in a high rise or whatever.
You know, so it's the area that you know that's around you.
Yeah, and what you're aware of with your surroundings,
okay?
And everybody has a cosmology. And so the important thing is that you can, let's say you're a Marxist, okay?
Okay.
Well, you're not going to have any kind of a sense of transcendence at all because there is no such thing as transcendence. Everything's material, right?
That's right, yeah.
So what's really real to you is what? The space matter part.
The space matter, yeah. You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargel. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website, and then select the Deep Dive into Scripture link at the top of that page. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
And maybe the time part, if you are so-called progressive, because you're hoping that your Marxist dream is going to progress into some utopian type thing.
Okay.
So you might have a place where you think time is real and important along with the material. Right. Or, but if you're a Buddhist, what do you think about space and matter?
Probably nothing.
Exactly. Nothing's the perfect word there. Yeah. It is nothing. It's an illusion, right?
Good guess.
Yeah, right. And time's an illusion. Only transcendence is real, right?
Yes.
So it's kind of like, beam me out of here, Scotty.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
I want to be at that point.
That's vertex, right. Right, yeah. Right. So any philosophy, any religion, you can evaluate as to the realness. The realness means how real it is to you of the transcendent. Space, matter, and time. All these are being established right here in these verses.
Okay.
Because we have the transcendent, right? God who is above. He makes material things, space and matter, and he declares them what? They're good.
They're good. Oh, yeah. After he does.
Right.
Yeah, each
and
one.
And now
yeah.
he's creating time.
Okay.
Okay. And time is real and it's good. Like for most of us, time's an enemy, right?
Sure, yeah.
Because
we get things done. So, we're always behind.
We're all in our minds young, and we always want us forever young, you know,
that's
that sort of thing like
problem,
that.
That's a different problem, yeah.
And so you look in the mirror, I mean, the whole thing is a horror show in slow motion.
Yeah. Who is that guy? Who is that old guy in the mirror?
Right.
Yeah, I know.
And so time seems to be an enemy, you know?
Sure.
But time is good. Okay, and this is all being established here in these first couple days.
Hmm.
That makes perfect sense to you, doesn't it?
It does now. I mean, if you'd have told me that a long time ago, I would have said, what?
So we have the beginnings of what we call a cosmic triangle here. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have light. And then on the fourth day, the job, so to speak, of giving light is given to the celestial bodies.
Okay.
And so you've got the stars, which it's really interesting. It calls it the greater light and the lesser light, right?
Right.
It doesn't
great,
give
yeah.
the names, okay? And there's a reason for that. And we'll talk more about that later. But real quickly, the word for sun is Shemesh in
okay.
Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
But that sounds too close to the god Shemesh.
Oh.
Shemesh.
Wow.
Okay. And the moon, Yareach, was the moon god. Danny, I saw the moon the other night. Have you ever seen the moon with, you know, clouds are kind of floating by
sure,
and all that
yes.
sort of thing?
And it was
you
a
know?
Full moon you're talking about
yeah,
a few nights
yeah,
ago.
It's,
yeah,
it's very mysterious, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are people in the world right now that worship the moon.
Yes.
Okay. There's yep. something about it that sort of draws you. And, of course, there's people, you know, the pagans, you know. And then, of course, the Kokavim, the stars. It's interesting. It made the stars also. It's kind of like almost an afterthought. Huge. Okay. Because in the pagan world, they were the stable things. They don't move, at least from the
didn't
eye,
look, yeah.
right?
Didn't
and
look to
so
them
therefore
like they
the stars. And you mentioned astrology before, all mm-hmm. that sort of thing. That's what determines the fates and all that sort of thing. It's kind of like an afterthought. Oh, and he made the stars that also. See, what it is it's demythologizing, I guess, the
those bodies that are in the
yeah,
sky.
The pagan worldview. So
sure.
this whole thing's also a polemic. Against that. But we'll talk more about that later. But here, let's see here. Oh, and let us make them, and this is day four, for times and seasons. Moed is the Hebrew word for that. And if you look at that word everywhere else in the scriptures, that means festivals.
Festivals.
Yeah.
Like a time of year.
Yeah. And remember what we're talking, the whole thing. Yeah. Time of year. Right. What time of years would they be looking at? Well, if you're
harvest.
Hebrew, you'd be looking at harvest. You'd be looking at that, you know, right? Yeah, you'd be looking at the beginning of the plantings. You'd be looking at Pesach, Passover, Pentecost, the harvest sort of things. And these were all religious because they were tied into life. They didn't have a secular idea about that.
Right. Well, everything to them was
right.
tied to their religion. Yeah.
Yeah. And Danny, when I came in a Catholic church, that was something I had to learn. Because I was thinking in terms of linear, secular time. And that's how everybody outside the church thinks. Linear, secular time. And that can either depress you. Well, it is depressing.
Right.
Where is it going? You know, that type of thing. But we'll have to say something about that in a minute. But what we have here is the religious calendar. And coming into the Catholic Church, it ties you deeply into nature, into creation, and the cyclical thing, right?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It makes you human, right? You know, when you think about this.
It is one of the things that I've always loved about the Catholic Church is the liturgical calendar and floating through the seasons
right.
with the readings the way that they are. from Advent through ordinary time again, and then Lent, and then into Easter. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's how you're ought to read this. Times and seasons will be like times and festivals, or, you know, the liturgical calendar. There's also this thing called linear time. Okay. And we actually see it starting right now, because you got the 6 days, which, you know, of course, each day is what? It's a progression in time going somewhere, heading toward the seventh day, which is rest.
Rest, okay. Yeah.
So scriptures is not just caught up in cyclical time like the pagans did, because the pagans were tied into nature as well, and the nature gods.
Of course, yeah.
And it's all mythological and all that sort of thing. But the thing about the Hebrew world is that they live in both senses of time. And the linear time becomes what we call eschatological time.
Mm.
That means there is an end. Okay. That means what you do in this life matters, because at the end, you're going to be judged, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, and because God is the judge. So what happens in linear time, or what we might call secular time? And of course, the big thing in the Bible is this, God, and we're going to talk about this many times as we go along, is that God breaks into secular time.
Okay. Yeah.
And he encounters men, and therefore sanctifying it, ultimately, of course, with Jesus Christ breaking into secular time. But by secular time, I mean, you know, linear time, as opposed to the calendar time. Okay. Mm-hmm. Time's going somewhere, and it's moving in a direction, and linearly, but it's also the cyclical part is very important too. Mm. Does that make sense?
It does. One of the things that I was reading when I was sort of doing a little bit of study about these verses in Genesis was that they think there were probably some priestly scribes or somebody that edited this story, because it's so liturgical.
Yes.
You know, it's all the things that you were
right.
talking about.
Mm-hmm.
All of it, this idea of time, it's not
sure.
just linear. It has to do with liturgy. It has to do with seasons. It has to do with nature. And there are so many things about the way this is done, like the fact that the verses are set up to be almost like a chant. And so all of these things they lean into the fact that it's liturgy. You know, it's all liturgical. So I thought that was pretty cool.
You caught it, Danny. There's a cadence to it.
There is,
And it's a liturgical cadence. So that's very important. There are what we might call sources that Old Testament scholarship has discovered and what have you. I don't really press this, and I'm not going to really be pressing this in deep dive, because back in the day, okay, back in the late 19th century, early 20th century, that's all scholars did, was trying to figure out, oh, who wrote this source and who wrote that source?
Where did this come from originally and
right.
all that?
Right, and you take a beautiful flower and pull all the petals and try to, I mean, what do you have at the end?
Right,
you got a real mess.
Yeah, so the fact that it might have been priestly scribes in the 6th century BCE like that, it's almost like, who cares about that? Except that we know that it's poetry, not science.
That's right.
So it's beautifully written.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And tells the story.
That's why we look at the structure.
Yeah.
Because it's a poetic structure. So you look at the motifs, right, Danny?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
You look at the motifs and you look at the structure. And the third thing we really look for is difficulties.
Okay. The struggles.
The struggles, because it's only struggling with the difficulties, which often are very intentional. Like one here is, how in the world could there be light on the first day without sun, moon, and the stars,
of
right?
Of course, yeah.
By forcing yourself to think through that and to understand what the writer is saying, it's certainly not an oversight on his part, right? So, so those are the three things we look for, okay? Problems are always good.
Okay. For you.
No, for all
I know, I get it.
Problems, motifs, and structures, and we're good to go.
Okay, good. So good on verses one and four. Okay, good.
Next week is going to be 2 and 5.
Okay, sounds good.
Next
Looking
podcast,
forward to that.
Anyways, yeah, right. Okay.
All right, take care.
God bless. Bye.
Thanks for listening. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Deep Dive into Scripture link on that page for related text. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.